Thank you so much for coming out to the early session and for finding R07. Shows tenacity just to find the room. So we really appreciate you being here. My name is Robin Cox. I'm the Director of Health Education for Solano County Public Health, and I have no relationships to disclose. The work that I'm speaking about today is made possible through a community transformation grant. Solano County was selected as one of 12 small to medium-sized rural and semi-rural counties to partner with the Public Health Institute in their successful grant application to the Centers for Disease Control. And Solano County, as you can hopefully see in the red circle there in California, Solano County is the blue county in the middle of the red circle. Solano County is the northeasternmost county in the San Francisco Bay Area. We have a population of approximately 420,000 people. We have some very rural parts of our county out toward Rio Vista and Dixon. We also have some pretty urban areas in Vallejo and in several of our cities that are pretty urban. So very diverse. Solano County is the only county in the country that I've actually been able to substantiate that has more than 10% of four different specific major racial and ethnic groups. We have about 15% of our population is Asian, about 15% is, African American, 25% Hispanic, and incredibly diverse, many, many languages spoken in our county. Our county has also, as kind of a backdrop for this, our county was hit extremely hard in the Great Recession. Vallejo is our biggest city, and they declared bankruptcy in 2008, and we had one of the highest foreclosure rates in California. The Community Transformation Grant focused on four strategic areas: increasing physical activity, especially through our Safe Routes to School program, decreasing access to sugary beverages, increasing access to smoke-free multi-unit housing, and improving and building our community clinical linkages between primary care clinics and free community resources to help people with chronic disease prevention. And today, I wanted to concentrate specifically on our work to reduce sugary beverages and to promote water. And the reason that this is so critically important is that, and let's see, I'm not sure why the slides are auto-advancing. Is there any tip? I'm not touching the keyboard. The need in Solano County is very significant. More than almost about 10% of our adults have diabetes. The overweight percentage is around 40%. We have very high obesity rates in children, especially in Suisun. It's about 46.7%. And in Vallejo, close behind at 43%. So the need is very large. And recently there was a study done that showed that about 36% of our hospitalizations in Solano County are due to diabetes. So the call to action is very clear, based on all of this data, that we really needed to target our sugary beverages. A recent study had shown that about 21% of all of the calories consumed daily come from the beverages, of course, that Americans drink. And trying to work on the single biggest contributor to the excess calories is clearly something that we felt the need to do. So my presentation today will really cover our journey, and I think one of our other speakers, Pam, mentioned things as a journey as well. Our journey really covers how Solano County Public Health weaved together a great community organizing model, training, youth engagement, water station access, and we undergirded all of this with a mass media campaign that we developed locally. We wanted to try to work to link some of this grassroots effort to larger things in the future. But from my 20-plus years as a tobacco dinosaur starting in California with our Prop 99 efforts, I knew from the outset that we really, really would have to lay the groundwork of a lot of community support and start very, very small. Kind of like the tobacco industry executive one time said, you know, working in California against some of the tobacco work is like being pecked to death by ducks. And I wanted to try to use that same kind of thing with sugar-sweetened beverages, knowing that we'd absolutely have to work at a small scale first to try to build that groundswell of support for bigger things in the future. As one of the first steps in our journey, we wanted to have key partners with us. And we decided to partner with several different community-based organizations. One of the focuses was to engage youth very authentically, not just a tacit participation, but really engage youth strategically from the beginning to help drive this work. So we picked three community-based organizations that are here listed based on their work, specifically engaging youth, based on their interest in working with public health. And even if they had zero experience in sugar-sweetened beverage arenas, we felt that the community connection, their desire and willingness to partner with us, and their ability to engage youth were the primary objectives. In so doing, we also worked really hard with our sister bureau. So in the local health department, I manage a Bureau of Health Promotion and Community Wellness Programs. My colleague is in charge of nutrition services, and she and I team together whenever possible, have a great relationship to try to collaborate. She was very interested in my policy background. I was really interested and needed her support as a registered dietitian to help me wade through the grams and calories and the nuances of how to do all of the RD kind of work associated with this. And so it was really a beautiful partnership working together. And one of the things that the partnership revealed is in terms of training and working with the youth, we needed to, again, as I mentioned, a lot of these agencies didn't have background in sugar-sweetened beverages. So we worked together, nutrition services and health education worked together to not only train the adults in the community-based organizations, but also to train the youth directly. And this is really critical, and I just want to mention, don't skip this step. It's so important for the youth to understand what's in their drink. So we started with Rethink Your Drink education. And it's amazing when you see their faces light up and the light bulbs go off when they realize just lots of different facts about sodas and what's in them and how our bodies really don't regulate the calories from liquids effectively and actually how many pounds you can pack on in a year if you just drink one 20-ounce soda. The kids were startled to find out by just drinking one 20-ounce soda a day that they could gain 25 pounds a year if they didn't do anything else to change their physical activity levels. And so we can't ever neglect, even if it's old hat, to some of us, we can never neglect the fact that we need to start with a basic education. And why do we care? Why do we care? Why do the youth care? How does the industry target them? All of these things were things that we worked hard with nutrition services to share with the youth and to have them be trained in. And in working with them, they got really fired up. They got quite amazed when they found out what was in their drink. And along the way, I also made a decision, and this presentation is not about me, but I wanted to share that in working with the youth, I decided to start my own personal campaign and to try something myself. If I was going to ask the youth to give up soda, I decided I better do it myself. We try to practice what we preach, and I thought, I'm going to try this. If we're going to ask people to do it, I'm going to do it myself. We'll come back to that at the end. How did I do? So in working with community mobilization, we worked with a model. And the model that we used was a model that I have to just give a special call out to the American Lung Association Center for Tobacco Policy and Organizing. I actually brought them to Solano County several times, and they do a six-hour training on community mobilization that's really excellent. I brought them a couple times to do this training with the youth, with the adults, and there are five different phases of the community mobilization process that they go through. And as I mentioned, it's a six-hour training, so I can't cover it in the 20 minutes. But just as a tease, these are the five phases. Crucially important not to skip any of them. People have a tendency especially to skip recruitment, and that is very important. So recruitment, as was mentioned earlier, of the business community, of different partners, maybe non-traditional partners. So there's five phases, and if you're interested, please Google the American Lung Association Center for Tobacco Policy and Organizing. Even though tobacco is in their title, these mobilization strategies work across all different types of community policy work. In addition to working the staff and the youth through the five phases of community mobilization, we also work with the Midwest Academy strategy chart that can be found at MidwestAcademy.com. The Midwest Academy is a real, and I uploaded this as a handout in the presentation, so hopefully you'll be able to find this as a handout. It's way too busy to actually put on the slide. It's quite a lot of verbiage. But the Midwest Academy walks people through identifying your goals as an agency, working through four key organizational considerations. How do you identify your constituents, your allies, your opponents? What do you do to identify your targets? What are your targets? And then lastly, after you've figured all of that out, the process works you through identifying what are your tactics. And your tactics are what you do with your allies and your constituents to actually get to your goals. So by Googling both of those sources, you'll see the models and kind of the theoretical background that we used. In addition, we had technical assistance, which was wonderful, from both the Public Health Institute, from Samuel Center, from Change Lab Solutions. We shared all of these models and strategies with everyone with whom we spoke. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we undergirded all of this with a mass media campaign. We know from all of our work with tobacco prevention that you have to change attitudes, knowledge, beliefs. In working with community policy work, it's so critical to have the media support your messages and to work to figure out what is going to work locally. Solano County is very, very conservative, and I was geared up for the nanny state kind of arguments. Really knew a lot of this was going to be coming at me. So we really felt like, let's figure out what's going to work. There's a couple different approaches, especially in all my years of experience with tobacco. You can either push or you can pull. You can either do anti-messages or you can do pro-messages. We were trying to figure out, with our specific culture in our community, which should we do. I decided, let's do something to promote water. Instead of anti-soda, I didn't know that anti-soda was going to fly. But you can either increase consumption of water or you can decrease consumption of soda. We thought, let's try to increase consumption of water. Let's see what happens if we try this. So we launched with 40 local youth and a professional photographer. We had a couple different photo shoots. We had our own local youth photographed and put together a mass media campaign that had multiple components, and I'll just kind of show you a few highlights. We launched our website. We had a landing page for sugar-sweetened beverages. Parts of it are still under construction. It ended up being a mammoth project, but is really showing great hits to the sugar-sweetened beverage landing page that's up so far. We did a 15-second video, and the video we actually placed in movie theaters. And because movie theaters, as was said, get so much of their revenue from soda, we had no idea what kind of what we would anticipate. Like, would they even carry the water promotion message in a movie theater? But we actually got no backlash. I was very surprised and gratified. They actually ran the 15-second spots. Of course, we paid for them. But they ran them and didn't get any pushback from that. We did billboards in Vallejo, California, did some billboards in some of our really high-risk target areas, did bus advertising, transit advertising. These were local youth that we photographed drinking glasses of water with some lemon slices in them, and really tried to make water look appealing and delicious and refreshing. So local Solano kids. So what happened? What happened as a result? Did anything work? Well, when I actually did the abstract and uploaded this, 9 policies had been adopted. Actually, we're standing at 10 right now. So far, we've had 10 policies adopted, effectively serving over 18,000 people so far. We've listed these here for you. Probably the biggest was a change in the Vallejo City Unified School District wellness policy to actually add language specifically around promoting water, promoting access to water, decreasing sugary beverages. We had a number of clubs, 4-H, the North Bay Athletic Association, our own Solano County, trying to again speak from where we work. Our Solano County beverage policy was changed and improved, and we actually have now a 50% or greater healthier choices in our beverages. It's not at 100%, but we actually worked on the policy language such that diet soda is considered an unhealthy choice, so it's actually probably greater than a 50% policy. And it's showing great results so far in clubs, in schools, in the county government itself, where we've had success. This is our North Bay Athletic Association. They were the very first agency to actually install a water station. We had, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure why the slides are sometimes auto-advancing. In the North Bay Athletic Association, the day that we kicked this off, there were probably over 300 children using that facility. And prior to this, they really did not have access to clean, fresh drinking water. So one of the things that we did with grant funds is, where an organization committed to pass a policy, whether it was 100% public health institute beverage policy, if it also included sales of beverages, if it also included, we asked them to sign a one-year agreement with us to keep promoting water and to pick among a menu of about 10 different things that they would do to commit over the next year to working with promoting water. For all of these things, if they passed the policy and agreed to sign the commitment letter, we were able in some of the clubs and organizations to provide a water station with a bottle filler. Where possible, we provided water bottles that were BPA free for the youth to use. Now, I want to just also stress, in case you're thinking, well, if you can provide a water station, was that a huge incentive? Some of these policies were passed where people did not need a water station and actually did not have access or had plenty of access and did not need a water station. So I would say so far the results look promising for both. In other cases, like in this association where they didn't have water access, this was a huge boon. And it was really wonderful to see immediate, tangible access to water happening. Here's just a better picture probably of the bottle filler. It also has a counter on it so we can actually see, you can't figure out unduplicated counts of youth, but you can figure out how many times the unit is used and get some sense of the measurements. I do want to say that in the policy work that we did, some of the standards were 100%. Some of them were a little bit mixed. With North Bay Athletic Association, there was one particular coach who really wanted to keep chocolate milk. He felt that for some of his athletes, after they had done 2 to 3 hour workout, that there was some scientific evidence that these kids needed some calcium. And rather than fight the fight, again, in the spirit of taking baby steps to get 90% there, there were some compromises that we made, but a lot of the policies were actually 100% standards. And then, so what do the youth say? The youth have really been moving with this whole experience, and I have to say it has been a joy to watch the youth get trained, to then watch some of the high school students train some of the elementary school students, to have them turn around and together go to their boards of directors, to ask for protections for themselves and their agency, to work in the community, and the voice that has been expressed by these youth has really been a joy for me to behold. I think that I was really moved by one young woman who in particular said she really wanted to role model for her younger brothers and sisters, and she felt that by her doing this kind of work with us, and in the community, that she was having a strong influence on her siblings, more so than what she had when she was the oldest. And she was very moving. She wanted to lead by her example. And that really reinforced, you know, my decision to try to figure out how hard would it be to just let go of soda. So in coming back to the youth and what they say, they really want to be engaged. I sometimes hear and I go to conferences to try to figure out how can we best engage youth and what can we do. And the youth will say, they know sometimes that they're hard to reach, that sometimes, you know, the social media is a way to get to them and sometimes it's hard to break through. But one of their messages was, you know, keep trying. keep trying to find ways to engage us, because once they're engaged, they're really engaged. So don't give up. And flexibility. Sometimes the things did not work exactly the way we planned, but again, trying to be flexible is really important. This is one of the youth that was working with the REACH Coalition. So in terms of a summary and lessons learned, the working with the community-based organizations and the youth is very, very powerful. Making sure that we don't skip over that basic, you know, primary education, what's in a soda, why is it harmful, what percentage of your calories are you really drinking? Making sure that we hit that is crucial. Engaging our champions remains very important. And certainly leveraging the mass media to change that beverage environment is showing tremendous results so far. I think that in terms of my own soda consumption, I can tell you I'm going on 2 years soda free. It was not as hard as I thought. I just thought I would really miss it, and I banned, well, I'm banned, huh. But no diet soda either, so just kind of went cold turkey, but it's really not been as hard as I thought, and it's really a pleasure to be able to be able to stand here and say that. I have one exception, though. I did have a ginger ale one day when I was feeling very upset stomach, but I guess if you forgive that, I guess I can say other than that, it's been soda-free. I wanted to say that our process has shown that really engaging youth as partners and using a community organizing model and the Midwest Academy strategies to advocate for healthier beverages really is a promising strategy. I think that all of these steps that I've talked about have a lot of promise to be replicated in a lot of communities. And because of their efforts, the youth are really making healthier beverage choices. And not only are they making healthier beverage choices themselves, but they're telling stories about how they're going home and advocating with their parents and neighbors and siblings and really giving the message, not just to their organizations, but it really has had an impact in their lives and with everyone that they work with. So please heed the call to action to do what you can to decrease sugary beverage intake and to increase drinking water throughout all of our communities. And thank you very much for your time and attention here today. My contact information is here if you'd like to do any follow-up. Thank you very much.